$30,000 a month from a side hustle I can almost guarantee you've never considered. What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, because your 9 to 5 may make you a living, your 5 to 9 makes you alive. Today's guest reached out with a quote unquote passive income side hustle I'd never heard of, but I'm confident that you see almost every day, and that's owning billboards. He owns around 30 of these things in the Bentonville, Arkansas area, and retired a couple years ago at the ripe old age of 42, thanks in part to the monthly cash flow that they generate from wantmore.org. Chris Brown, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thanks, Nick. I'm glad to be here.
You bet, me as well. Glad you're here. Stick around in this one. You're going to learn how to find these things for sale or find places where you could put one, how to fill up that ad space, and how passive it really is once you're up and running. Your listener-only bonus for this week is my list of 25 other unconventional rental ideas, other things that people are renting out for a profit. You can download that for free at the show notes for this episode at sidehustlenation.com/billboards, or just follow the show notes link in the episode description, and you'll be able to grab that. Now, this is something I never considered. What put it on your radar in the first place? Talk to me about your first billboard or the inspiration to get started here.
The inspiration was I was actually just driving past one day after day, noticing it was empty. But let me go back a little bit before that to tell you the inspiration of why I even started looking for side hustles or passive income, and billboards became that vehicle for me. So got married right out of college the same day I actually graduated. We were so broke. We had two cars, but one of them that you had to get in through the passenger side vehicle or through the door to get into the vehicle. And that was not fun, right? Like you're having to crawl in and crawl over. That's how broke we were. Not a good place to be. Got a job making $8 an hour. Really good after you graduate college, right? Get out, making all the money, started piling on the debt, buying a new car, buying a house, buying the furniture, just started racking up. But I started looking at this saying something isn't working. So I actually started studying how to build wealth and get out of debt. And one of my first jobs was actually as a pharmaceutical rep. And we had to sit by the phone about once a year as they did layoffs. When they would announce these, we had to sit there and we weren't sure if we were going to get the call or not to be laid off. And I made a commitment then that I wasn't going to be ever on the chopping block where I didn't have some other passive income or side hustle to protect me and my wife as we made this journey of life as we started out. So I started looking for those, and lo and behold, I found billboards a few years later.
This is like the equivalent of spring training, opening your locker and seeing the pink tag. Like you just have to sit there like waiting for this death knell phone call.
Yes. Everybody on the team, basically, you got a time and you had to sit there. If you got the call, you got to keep going. So that was one of those real uneasy feelings. I was just married, had all this new debt, had a bunch of payments, had a life I was supposed to live. And I'm like, how am I supposed to take care of my wife and my family? I'm not sure I'm going to have a job, which we see that happening all the time. Right now, last month, Amazon, Google, all the layoffs are happening. This continues to happen year after year after year.
Yeah, no such thing as job security. The only job security is to go out and create your own income streams. And that's what we're talking about. So if you're driving past this billboard, you noticed that it's either vacant or hasn't changed in a long time. What goes through your head?
Yeah, as I drive past it day after day, I'm like, this is getting run down and faded. It doesn't look like it's been taken advantage of. So I actually called the guy and I'm like, I wonder if this was for sale. And I call him. This was during 2011, right after the Great Recession. And he was like, yes, I would love to sell this. I don't want it. It was a part of a different property he had. And he said, yes, you can have it for what I got into.
Is there like a phone number at the bottom, or like how do you find the phone number?
There was a couple of ads on it, but they were old. And so I looked up the county records. I looked up who owned the piece of property. And just so happens, I was able to tie it back. A lot of running different hoops and things trying to find out who the actual owner was. And it was a local developer that had developed a neighborhood across the street. So he had actually just developed a neighborhood across the street and put this as an out parcel.
Okay. So that's one way to get in touch to buy an existing one.
That's how I got into my first one.
Yeah, looking up the county records. Okay, that makes sense. How much does it cost? Like, talk to me about that first deal.
Yeah, the first deal was very interesting. So he was just willing to get out. He actually showed me the invoice of his cost to put it in the ground, what he had on it. That included the land. He didn't even want the land or anything. He was about to go bankrupt, so he really didn't care.
Oh, okay.
So he actually showed that to me. So that was $75,000, which again, I didn't know at the point was a great deal, but it was a great deal. And I was able to purchase that from him. And he sold it to me. It's right in the middle of a intersection. So it's literally surrounded by three roads. People have to drive underneath the billboard, which is very interesting. and was a little concerning. So I actually had to get the city to sign off on it to say, hey, look, we're good with it staying, because I was really not sure about that, if they were going to make it take down or not, and didn't want to buy something and if that was going to happen. So it did get hit a few times.
Oh my God, like by a really tall truck or something?
Yes. Yes, because the original road did not actually have the road that went underneath it. So people would normally have curved around it, and then they added this extra on my property, but it never was addressed. And so it started out as like a little dirt cut through, and then people, they paved it and it became a main part of the road. So really, really interesting spot. Yes.
It's a combination of this real estate play plus a media play. How many eyeballs like am I going to get over here as I go to turn around and then sell that ad inventory? Okay. So $75,000 for the land and the structure to go out there. And then you go out and try and find a new advertiser for it. What happens next?
Yeah. So once I acquired it, I actually then did. I called up a few local businesses and said, hey, I had some friends that own businesses, some heating and air companies, some furniture companies, some car dealerships. And I said, hey, would you guys be interested? And it was on the middle of a great location. It was kind of a random spot right by a bunch of neighborhoods where you wouldn't expect a billboard. So they jumped on it, and some of those people are still advertising today, and that was in 2011. So we're talking 13 years later, they still have the same advertisers on a few of them.
Okay, yeah, long-term. I mean, yeah, if they're seeing a positive ROI on it, yeah, just keep it rolling.
Yes, because there's three elementary schools and junior highs and high schools right by it. It's just a great location. So that's how I got the first one. Is I'm driving around, I found one, decided I kind of wanted it. I was already looking for real estate itself, so I was into single-family flips. I was into land acquisition and commercial property and multifamily. But then I saw that and I thought about it was a very interesting way to play the land game, or as just a different play, to own the business, have the media, and have the passive income from the billboards themselves.
What did you end up selling the first spot on that first billboard for?
Yeah, so each spot on the billboard, so that first billboard had four billboards on it, four signs. Each one of those was about $600 each. That was the first day. I had no idea how to price them. So what I did was just called some of the other billboards around and said, all right, what are you guys pricing these at? Because I just acted like an interested billboard buyer. And they were glad to tell me what their rates were. And so I was able to find that and give that deal to people. I just wanted them full to cover my cost on that so that I would have just some positive cash flow coming in every month.
A four-sided thing, or it's like one of these mechanic rotating type of deal?
Yeah, it was a top and a bottom on both sides. So it was a good old-fashioned... There was four static billboards. Yeah, so we call them static. So in billboards, there's static, there's digital, and then there's actually TriVision, but most are static or digital. So you have just the ones that are flat. They don't change. They stay the same 24/7. And then you have the digital that actually then rotate in as a LED screen.
The one that's closest to us that I can think of, I think it, so it's two-sided, right? So you get people going both directions. And I want to say it, there's two different advertisers on each side. Like it somehow flips, and then every now and again.
Yep. So then there's a TriVision. So those actually flip.
Yeah, the slats get broken. It's just like half of one and half of the other and stuff. Okay. So about four signs, $600 each. We're at $2,400 a month in income there. Okay. And so then pencil that against the acquisition costs. And I have learned to not do math on air, but that's close to $29,000 for the year, which pencils out.
ROI is about three.
Yeah. Right. 3 years, and you're breaking even on that purchase cost.
Mm-hmm. Total purchase cost. Yeah, paid back in three.
Okay. Did you do cash or finance, or what's typical?
I actually did on that one. I did cash. So I'm big into no debt, which is different as a real estate guy. A lot of people are into leverage, which works as well. But I did have cash on that. I just wanted to move quick so that I didn't lose it and was able to get it. And then it just cash flowed positive from day one.
Yeah. So. Okay. So 3 year ROI compared to a single family rental house where S&P 500 investment, it's like, okay, really, really strong ROI.
That's correct. Yeah, so I kind of look at billboards like doors, right? So every sign face, we call them faces, is like a door. In the multifamily world, we have a number of doors. A duplex has two, fourplex has four. A sign, a double stack sign, has four signs on two on both sides. So I have four doors or four signs faces on one billboard.
Okay. And is it the safer path for beginners to try and find this distressed seller in this case, like this guy who doesn't want it anymore, versus like trying to find a plot of land and like, oh, can I rent out a 6-square-foot thing and put a post-it? Where do you see most people getting started with this?
I think both routes are good. If you find some that are distressed and you can rehabilitate, or you find one that somebody is looking to get rid of, look to acquire it. It's harder and harder to find those these days, but they are out there because there's a lot of small town signs that are out there that aren't the big operated by a national company that you can still find independent operators. And those are the ones you would find that from just somebody that put up a sign outside their business originally or had a piece of land that they were putting it on. And you can find those. Now, I don't know, safe one versus the other. You can go into a new construction and build a new one on your own piece of land or that you do. And we can talk about that, a little bit more about that in a minute. But yeah, if you're looking for one, I would definitely just keep your eyes on it. It's one of those things of like anything I learned a long time ago, the reticular activating system, which is fun when your brain starts to dial into something. It's like when you get a new car. My daughter's about to turn 16. We're looking at new cars. All of a sudden, they're seeing the car that they want everywhere because we're talking about it and our brain picking up on
yeah.
it. Same with billboards. You start to think about them and look for them. Now, all of a sudden, you'll see spots. You'll see billboards. You'll see locations. You'll start to notice that and you'll say, that's a great spot. It will ruin the way you drive. I will tell you that. I can't drive normally anymore without thinking of everything in terms of billboards.
Yeah, billboard. What's this guy making on this location? Yeah. It's the same way we did an episode years ago on flipping industrial pallets, businesses that receive their inventory on pallets and companies that ship their stuff out. And now every time I see a stack of pallets behind any type of building, it's like, oh, pallet money, you know, text it to the guest and be like, yep, oh, that's $800 right there.
It's funny. I just had that. I'm working with a person that's doing a lot of online stuff and she was talking to me about billboards and she's wanting to get into it. She was driving to Florida. She messaged me on her way back and said, all right, my drive back from Florida was billboards everywhere. That's all I could see because I was paying attention to them. So once you become aware, they become more noticeable what's out there, how many or how few. And I think that's part of it. I think understanding the way the billboard businesses are run, it's a supply and demand game. So it is a limited game versus a residential single family home where there's tons of them.
Right. And is there such thing as a marketplace like an eBay for billboards or where these things may change hands? Or is it, I got to look up these county records every time I see one?
There's brokers that are in the space that buy and sell for buyers and sellers. So there are brokers in the space of billboards, just like any other business, because it trades as both a business and as a real estate play. And so you're able to do that. So there are brokers out there. You can contact directly the owner sometimes just to find out if they're willing to sell. And that even means regional. You'll see a regional play where the inventory, a friend of mine just sold 20 billboards of his a couple of weeks ago. And so he sold them all to a group and one other larger group bought that up. So there are places you can go find brokers that are dealing in them. You can call them directly and ask them and build a relationship. And I always encourage people to do that. Start to build a relationship with somebody. If you know that you may want to eventually buy that from them, go ahead and start to build a relationship with them. You can at least learn, or they'll tell you they're not interested, one of the two.
Yeah. The ones that I see are branded like Lamar or like is Clear Channel or Clear something is one of them. So they're trying to consolidate and leverage economies of scale and everything. But at the same time, you got to imagine it's pretty fragmented. Lots of different smaller operators, 10, 20, 30 of these things. Just, hey, I'm here for the passive cash flow. It doesn't need to be a nationwide thing.
That's exactly right. So you have your Lamar, CBS, Outfront that own the big conglomerates, right? The one I always call them the New York City. Those are the ones that are owned and operated by those big companies that have been acquiring smaller, middle-sized independents. But there's a large group of independent owners, and those are out there and growing. And then you're able to build wealth through those because there is somebody to always acquire. What's great about the billboard space is that supply and demand game. So if you go into look at the history of about 100 years ago, billboards were not banned anywhere. You could put them up anywhere you wanted, any place, any time, which made them worth not very much at all. So when you have a lot of supply, the demand goes down because there's not a much price to be discovered on that. But now since the Act of 1972 and the Beautification Act, they regulated them. So these are now regulated across the country, which limits supply, which drives up the prices if you're actually selling them or renting them out. So there's actually a great thing. When you own them, they're very valuable because of that supply regulation that allows you to have a very valuable asset. So Lamar has them, but then you also have the independents. So you can sell back to, though, if I ever built up portfolios and wanted to sell, there's always buyers out there that want to acquire these media properties from you.
Yes, the existing ones are going to be grandfathered in, but new ones, there's some red tape and regulation to say like, well, are you even allowed to put something like that on that property? Have you gone through that process of say, well, here's a parcel or a segment like next to the highway would be perfect for a billboard, but then either it doesn't get approved or you have to talk to the landowner and like, I want to sublease this little corner. Like if I want to go the building route, where does that start?
That's a great route. I've done that recently too. So you're right. The great news is the rules are laid out. When you know the rules and you have to dig into them a little bit, they are a little nuanced and a little hard to go find all the exact rules because you're playing at a bunch of different levels. You have the federal level, the state level, the city level, the county level. However, once you understand and know how to play the game, it's actually not so complicated. Then it's just finding it. What you would do is you find a piece of land, you go start to figure out the rules around it, the distances. In every city, state, county, highway, they're all a little bit different state to state. And so you have to kind of be specific to your states, but you do, you find it, you then go get approved. Sometimes they'll approve you based on the rules, how they are. And sometimes they try to delay it because they don't want it. I've had one that I put up not too long ago that I put it up. I actually got the boards up immediately after they annexed into a certain piece of the property into a different city. And then they said no more billboards could ever be done. And they outlawed it, but I was grandfathered in. So it was one of those plays. So there's different ways to do it. But once you have it in, most of the time they will grandfather it in. Or if you acquire one that's been permitted or not, you can do that. But you do have to have permits. And those are, again, at the city level, state level, county level, federal level. And sometimes you have to have all the above to actually get. So it's not an easy game to go into right away. But once you know, it's not too bad.
Sure. And the more hoops that you have to jump through, the more people who drop out along the way. It's not worth the headache.
Yeah. Once you figure this out, though, it's not that bad. So yeah, there's not a lot of competition for it. That's why you don't hear everybody out there talking about billboards. And so this is one of those that I've decided the play that I've had, the way I've built wealth, the way I've built passive income is through billboards.
Yeah, we're 600 plus episodes deep into this show, and it's the first time it's ever come up in 11 years. Like, and that's why it stood out.
I love it.
It's super interesting. And ever since we had our initial conversation, I'm like starting to notice these things every time I drive by. Like, oh, I wonder who owns that thing, or I wonder how that works. So that was the first deal, $75,000 acquisition costs, break even after 3 years. No tenants. I mean, you got advertisers, but they stick around for a long time, potentially. No toilets that are breaking.
That's the great thing.
A sign of, relatively low maintenance type of thing.
Yeah. I don't have to deal with the laws of evictions. I don't have to do anything like that because it is a commercial thing. If they don't pay, I can obviously work with them because these are a lot of my partnerships and clients and that I work with. But I take down the billboard, I take down the advertisement, and then I go get another one, right? There's no going through eviction process or anything like that. It's very
sure,
clear.
Sure.
I literally change it, take them down, and move on. So I love that. I don't have to deal with the tenants in the toilets, and I don't have to deal with the evictions and the laws around those.
More with Chris in just a moment, including his experience in putting up a couple of his own signs and how they can be worth 10 times their annual earnings if you ever want to sell right after this. They say the only constant is change. And right now, nothing is changing faster than the world of AI. If you're like me, you're pretty sure there's a way to get more done with the help of AI, or at least accelerate some of your existing processes, right? But you're not sure where to start, and you don't want to get left behind. Enter the next wave. If you're AI curious and want to learn how to implement it in your business, The Next Wave is the podcast you got to check out. Last year, we did a whole episode on AI side hustles with Matt Wolf, and he's one of the co-hosts of The Next Wave, helping break down the latest trends, tools, takeaways, and guidance on how to actually implement this stuff into your world. So let Matt and his co-host Nathan Lands be your on-demand chief AI officers. The Next Wave is a weekly show with key insights, examples from lots of different industries, and practical advice on how to work smarter. So make sure to check out The Next Wave in your favorite podcast app or on YouTube and give it a listen. Did you know that roughly half of Side Hustle Nation hasn't started their side hustle yet? If that's you, I get it. Starting and building a business is tough. It takes more than just an idea. There are tons of moving parts, and it's a bit like trying to assemble your airplane in the middle of takeoff. Thankfully, our sponsor Taylor Brands is helping Side Hustle Show listeners make that leap and make it all a lot easier. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, making sure you have everything you need all in one place. Think of it like your behind-the-scenes partner for things like LLC formation, licenses and permits, getting an EIN, setting up your business bank account, bookkeeping and invoicing, insurance, logos, trademark protection, and a lot more. Taylor Brands helps you handle it all seamlessly. And to get you started, Side Hustle Show listeners get 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans when you use our link. That's taylorbrands.com/sidehustle. Taylor Brands, like a tailor for your clothes, taylorbrands.com/sidehustle. Start your business journey today with the help of Taylor Brands. All right. Walk me through another couple acquisitions here or the next few faces that you added to the inventory?
Yeah. So I found another location on a city. So one of the things about billboards, sometimes everybody thinks it's got to be on the busiest intersection, on the busiest highway, and the busiest the town. But remember, this is a supply and demand driven game. So a high quality location could be right outside the city or coming right into the city or on an alternate highway from the main highway or thoroughfare. I get just as much rent off of a subhighway, so we'd have a secondary highway, that I would if I have it on the main highway because there's no other billboards around it. So I have, my second acquisition was on a north-south highway that basically paralleled our main highway in our city, just a mile or two away actually. But because I put these up and there were no other, literally the only billboards on that whole highway for about 30 miles were mine. I'm the only one that has billboards. So I'm the one that controls those. There's not very many and there's no more going up. What that allows me to do is put the rents at whatever I want, because that's what then I can determine market rate for those versus the other ones. So sometimes the location makes a difference. So I found a piece of land. I actually acquired the land because I'm also, again, in the land owning business. So I love that. So I can duplicate or use it for dual use. One of the pieces I acquired recently was a commercial piece of property that I put two billboards on. So it's the same as that one sign that I was talking to that had double stacked, which is one on top of the other, front and back. I had two of those. So that gave me eight billboards in one location that were on each end of the property. It's about 3-acre tract of property that's commercial location on the highway. Put those up. Did that from new construction, so we cleared it. Lots of concrete, hundreds of yards of concrete down, 20 to 30 feet up, and still piping.
So just to withstand wind forces and everything?
Wind forces, yes, all that stuff that would do that. And then just the weight of being able to hold the sign upright if something hit it or anything.
Okay.
And so got those new construction up, which you have to go through engineering, you have to go through design. But again, once you have somebody that can help you do that or hold your hand and show you that, it's a lot easier. It's not too hard once you do it once. A lot of times the fabricators are the ones that actually can help you get those things done.
And this is a much more serious investment. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars to put in these two new things.
These two actually were around $200,000 for the two infrastructures plus the land cost. So, I mean, I really only had about $300 into the whole land and two structures, which gave me eight. But they immediately all rented for over $1,000 a month. So we're talking $8,000 of income coming in off of a $300,000 piece of property.
Okay.
And that math works pretty well all day long.
Yeah. So now you're close to that 3-year break-even window again, just on raw ROI.
It really works well. That's what I love about this game, is you can get into it again for, and I still have the land that I can use because I just took up the land on the ground. I'm using about 6 square feet on the ground for the pipe and then above it. And then I can still build duplexes, multifamily townhomes, or a commercial building on this property. I still have 2 acres that aren't encumbered by the billboards.
Gotcha. Have you ever gone down the route I'm picturing where we used to live in California, right off of Highway 580, like the main thoroughfare from the Central Valley into the San Francisco Bay Area, and like a couple billboards, like just look like these farmers, it's like cow pasture, and they like kind of just plant them at the very edge of their property. And I don't know if maybe they own and operate it, or they have subbed that out to some billboard company or some billboard owner like that, where it's like, no, I don't want to buy your whole farm. I don't need that responsibility. I don't need that expense, but I would like to, could I sublease this little tiny segment of it? How does that part work? Have you ever gone down that path?
Oh, absolutely. So you can own your land outright or you can lease. And so I do have leases on property. So on the way to our airport here locally, we have a highway that's a one way in, one way out to the airport for about half our area. I have two billboards on that highway as people go in and out. I actually just leased that because it didn't make sense to buy that one at the time. So I leased that from him for an amount that would be determined based on what that individual billboard would generate. Normally it's around 10 to 20% of the revenue that you think that sign will generate on a yearly basis that you pay them.
Oh, okay. So rather than a fixed cost, it's kind of almost on a performance basis. I'll give you a cut of what I'm making from the sign.
And you can do it either way. I think some of this is just whatever everybody's comfortable, right? You have two parties negotiating and you try to make sure it's fair. I always want to, I live here, I work here, I play here. I'm not going anywhere from my local market. So I'm not here to hose anybody. The person, the farmer in the example, I actually call him farmer in our town and I love him. So I like give him Christmas presents. I take care of him. I really like this guy. So I build relationships with some of these people. And so I want to make sure I take care of him. So for him, he's getting a great amount of money to put up a billboard on a piece of his land that he wouldn't have otherwise used. And it's a win-win deal.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so maybe my journey starts with looking up the local regulations. Like, is it even feasible to put in a new thing? Or do I have to go with the grandfathered in ones that already exist? And how do I go about looking up the landowners, trying to figure out how to acquire those? Because if you're paying retail prices, it sounds like this would be quite expensive because you've had offers to come and buy up your inventory. Yeah.
Yes. So that's the great, like I mentioned, you have buyers always out there. Once you own these assets, the buyers are always out there. So we call the big boys, the Lamars and the Outfronts of them, they will come in and make offers and they'll do it anywhere from 7 to 12 times your forward revenue that you're bringing in on those that bringing in revenue wise. So they're worth a lot. So if you're going to somebody that knows what they have, they're willing to sell, but they're going to want a little bit of a multiple on that. The great news is it cash flows, it will make money. If they're underperforming, then great. If you know you've seen billboards that aren't performing well and somebody's just had them or they're going through a bad time, right now maybe one of those great times. There's a lot of commercial property in distress in the markets. So a lot of commercial owners. So if you have somebody that owned a commercial building that may have had billboards on it, maybe they owned independently, this may be a great time to go talk to them because they may be distressed with their actual piece of commercial property, needing cash to cover something else. Maybe an opportunity if you see one that's not one of the big ones to go in and do that and buy it.
I want to pause on that cash flow plus equity piece because you're saying, okay, well, these things sell for a 7 to 12x multiple. And that's not on monthly earnings. That's on annual earnings, right?
That's correct. On annual earnings. So yeah, so you're building a business, right? So this is what's great. You know, if you've read Rich Dad Poor Dad, he said you want to be a business owner or an investor. And this gets you into both of those. So you're not just self-employed with a job. What I love about it is I have systems in place. So I actually don't touch any of my own stuff hardly. I have an accountant doing the bookkeeping. I have an installer doing all the work. I have people taking care of the creative, a print company doing the print or the digital. What then you have is an asset that you can sell that doesn't require me, Chris Brown, to be in the picture to be able to sell it. They could replace me really easily with somebody and go in and operate it. So then it sells as a business and the multiple of that business. So that's a great thing that you're building. You have the real estate play if you want it. If you own the real estate, you still own the real estate and you can sell it with or without the real estate that you actually own. You can sell it with just the boards, keep the real estate. You can give yourself a lease back to yourself on that. So there's options with that. Then you can just sell the billboards themselves to one of the bigger companies as they acquire for that up to 10, 12 times revenue as you're looking at it.
Yeah, I'm still trying to come up with the cohesive side hustle theory around this, but it's this, yes, I'm working for near-term cash flow, but I have ownership. I have equity in whatever I'm building such that I have the optionality to exit down the road if I so choose. And in this example, you're sitting on a multi-million-dollar asset. I don't need to sell it because it's just spinning off passive cash flow every month. It's like this really cool place to be on that front.
It's the same as a commercial building or a multifamily home or even a business, right? If you own any other business, then you have it and you can sell the asset off if you've built it correctly where it doesn't require you to run it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the finding advertiser side of things. So I've got this new 3-acre property. I've got 2 new posts going up with 8 pieces of inventory there. Is this just a lot of smiling and dialing, trying to find, you know, who wants this inventory? Is it like plastering a big phone number, like your ad here, call me kind of thing?
It can be a mixture of both. I think it just depends. So the first thing I would definitely do is put a number on the signs, right? It's a 6-foot tall by 10 foot wide phone number that says advertise here, call this number or email, whichever one you want to do, because people will drive by those signs, see them, and by default, they're going to call or be interested in if they have a business or they want to run it. What's interesting about billboards, and I think I shared this with you on the pre-call, is a lot of people advertise for their business, but a lot of people love to see themselves up on signs. So they like to see themselves in advertisements. So they'll want to drive by a place because they drive by it, regardless if it was the right thing for them to do necessarily for their business. They love to see themselves up on signs. So they may advertise and be somebody that would call to get that. But that's a great way to do it, is to put your number up there. That's the first way I would do it. Second, I would look around the local area. What's the next nearest business that makes sense? Or who do you know? So I would go look at the ones that are around there and start to call or to ask. Most of the time, if you have a great new location, a lot of times those, you don't have to make any calls at all. They'll just come to you and you're fielding emails or calls from others as they start to fill up.
Yeah.
Now, maybe in year 2, 3, 4, as they come open a little bit, then you may have to have a little bit more active involvement in that. But people then start to know you. So in my city, people know me. I'm the largest independent billboard operator in my metro area here, which now I've kind of started to build that brand of, oh, if you want a billboard, call Chris. even if I don't have the right inventory, I can at least help somebody out and send them to the right rep for another company. And so I've been able to do that.
Okay. And is it typically 6-month term, a 12-month term, as long a term as you can get? Like, what's typical in terms of you're going to advertise, we'll put your ad up here. How long is that going to stay up for?
Most billboards that I do 12-month or longer contracts, specifically on the static, which is a printed vinyl sheet that goes up and gets stretched across there. And the reason is there's sunk costs into the actual print and the hanging that you want to make sure they have it. Billboards are also one of those long-term, always on.
Do you typically bake that in, or you kind of, okay, it's going to be $1,000 a month plus the printing cost, or you kind of like eat that and amortize it over the course of the year?
Yeah, you can do it either way. So I actually bake it in as an added cost and say, hey, look, this is your print cost or whatever. Now, if it's somebody I've worked with and I need to work on a deal or something like that, then I'll work with them. But most of the time it's just baked in. Industry standard is they pay for the print, they pay for the install. Maybe you'll cover the graphics design or something like that for them. But most of the time they would do that. On the digital, it's a little different, right? Because you can just design it. And I literally can take a design right now, type it in my computer and send it to any of my signs. And it goes up live in 2 minutes. So a little less work, a little
bit. Wow, that's cool.
There's benefits and detriments. And I like to share people. Everybody's like, which one do you want to have? Personally, I actually like the old fashioned static signs the best. No maintenance, always up, unless they get knocked down by wind, which doesn't happen because they're made to handle like a hurricane 5 strength winds. Then they don't come down. The lights may or may not go off. That'd be the only thing that happens. And I go replace a light bulb or have somebody go replace that light bulb. The digital, I have to worry about internet. I have to worry about power. I have to worry about the actual screens going spots or whatever. You see a lot of signs up that have spots out or signs down. And that is part of the game, right? These are just ginormous, you know, 10 by 30 foot or 16 by 40 foot television screens. They will eventually, that are sitting out in the rain, in the cold, in the weather, they will go out over time. But they have great opportunities with them as well, because you can sell a day-to-day spot. You can sell hour-to-hour spots. You can put something up, take it down. You can barter. You can trade with things for that. You can sell them. Your question originally was the contract length. And I would say that most contracts are 12 months up to 24 months. Some get shorter in the 1 to 6 months, just depending on the location. You know, if you're looking Times Square, those are like hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute contracts that they're selling. And they have the way to do that. But if you're wanting to do...
Okay, wow.
Yeah, right? They're getting high dollars for high minutes. But the ones on the highway that you see, most of the time you'll see an advertisement up there for about 12 to 24 months.
I always was curious about that, because I've had some friends be like, look, I'm up in Times Square, you know, take the picture, grab the screenshot kind of a thing. But it's like, it may have only happened once for 90 That's seconds correct. Or something. Like, who knows? But you could say, hey, I was featured in Times Square billboard.
My daughter, I did that for her birthday, right? So we went out and put one up for her birthday on the billboard. And she got a picture in front of it with happy birthday right after the new digital one going up. And so that was fun. I did that with my parents. I took them out. I have one out by the lake here locally that everybody goes to the lake in the summer. And so as we were driving out there, and I slowed down. I was like, hey, look at the sign. And it was them. It was like, love you, mom and dad, just whatever. So they could see it. You know, it's just fun things that you can do. So there's some abilities to do things that you on the digital that you couldn't do on a static. But personally, I like the static ones just as much. Now, when you start to look at the difference in the two of why you would own one versus the other, the static, normal rotation is you have 8 advertisers per side on a digital billboard. And you start to look at that math. So one sign on a regular old-fashioned versus 8 spots on a digital. That gives you a lot more inventory to move through for just having one sign on one side, one sign on the other. You have 16 spots on one side.
Yeah, it's more work to go out and sell that stuff.
Inventory is a big deal when you want to open up, because if you can't get a location easy or you're paying higher dollar, you need to have that. And so being able to have people, more people be able to advertise. And again, you don't have to do it. It's constant. It rotates in every 7 seconds on average for an advertiser. So it comes up every minute on average is what they would have.
More with Chris in just a moment, including how you can get actual traffic stats for your billboard location, what his day-to-day involvement looks like, and when he felt comfortable retiring from his day job, right after this. If you travel a lot for work or for vacation, you might be familiar with that feeling you get knowing you're leaving your space unused for long periods of time, and you're still paying for that privilege. But hosting on Airbnb means you don't have to leave your home sitting empty when you're away. Being an Airbnb host isn't just a way to earn some extra cash. It's a chance to share your space and make a guest's vacation all the more memorable. You might be thinking, maybe my place isn't the right fit, but don't write it off just yet. your potential Airbnb might be right in front of you. Whether it's a spare room or even your entire home, there's an opportunity waiting. Airbnb turns your home into a practical and even profitable venture. We just got back from a family trip to Hawaii where we stayed in a great Airbnb, but our place back home could have been a highlight to somebody else's travels, and we could have used the extra cash to help pay for the trip. So if you're curious about hosting on Airbnb, find out how much your space could be worth by visiting airbnb.com/host. Once again, that's airbnb.com/host. Okay. Does anybody ask you about, well, how many cars are driving by every day? Like, what kind of traffic stats you got for me? Because I think this is actually kind of cool. Like, okay, on these big road trip thoroughfares on I-80 or I-35 or something, like, bored on your drive? Check out the Side Hustle Show. Tune in, make some extra money. But like, does anybody ask how many eyeballs are really seeing this?
Yeah, so you'll get some very sophisticated that want to know how many. So great news is state highways put out a census every year and they're tracking people driving on highways. So they're actually counted multiple locations upon the highway everywhere across the country. So you have at least an accurate within a year or two how much actual traffic. Now there's all kinds of different technologies that are out there that like see how many people are in a car, how many people drove by, how many people are paying attention, recall, those kind of things.
But okay.
You do have the ability to have analytics as far as how many people are driving by on a daily basis, estimate a number of impressions, because you start to look at, all right, we have this many cars going this direction, this many cars going this direction. Maybe there's, it's kind of like the newspaper, billboards, radios, they all have this. We expect 1.5 persons per car that would drive by versus just a single car, you know, and looking at it like that, they do kind of an algorithm around that.
But that's all like public data.
Well, the piece for sure on the highway traffic is, and then individual billboard operators would then have their own amount of eyeballs they would give it to, just like a magazine or even a show would say, a podcast may say, I have this many downloads versus this many viewers versus this many followers versus this many, right? Like they may count minutes versus hours.
Yeah, how do you want to measure this?
Normally whatever makes them sound the best, right? So that's what I would say, that you, it's kind of a not universal across everybody, but most people do traffic counts across the country.
Okay. And is the pricing, obviously the more viewers, the higher price you can command. What kind of range is typical?
Absolutely. So you start to look at that. And sometimes that is the case. You can have higher impression counts and you would have higher amounts. But if there's 10 other billboards right there, prices come down. It's probably similar in the media world, right? You start thinking about podcasts or YouTube ads or other things. When you're starting to run ads, if there's a lot of others in this space, it's not just the amount, it's the quality, it's the type, it's the time, all those different things playing into effect. I have, like I said, billboards that are static on a probably a quarter of some of the other highways that I get almost the same amount or rates for the billboards that I would if I got on a different highway. And the reason is there's no other competition. So they want to be there. Their billboard stands out. So recall is a really important thing. As you're driving down the highway, you want something that's memorable. So if I'm driving down the road and there's 1,000 billboards, I may not pay attention to them. They may kind of get white noise to me. But if I'm driving down the road and there's one billboard and I literally, my truck hits it or I have to drive underneath it, I'm going to recall that one a lot more than the one that I just drove past 1,000 of them on the highway. So value is determined not just on impressions, but it's on the location, the different things around that specific one.
Okay, right. And thinking of trying to find the advertisers that are going to stick around long-term, they see the long-term value of kind of this, similar to, I imagine, radio advertising, where it's repetitions and recall, like getting in front of people day after day after day, and also probably a direct response. I see a lot of personal injury attorneys like, call me. I guess a combination of the two, where it's like, I would like to see an ROI based on this. I don't know if I can directly measure it, but I noticed that the phone rang more than it used to as a basis of having this thing.
And you want to. And I tell people that all the time. It's not the only advertisement, right? They shouldn't do just this for direct response. So if you're trying to do only this and it's the only thing you're going to do today and you're looking for the phone to ring tonight, probably isn't the right method for you. However, you want to be up there so when they do need it, not everybody needs a HVAC or an air conditioner repair tonight, but they need it at some point. And you, what you need to be is when they look you up on Google, which is how most people search something, they would say, oh, I saw that. So now I have trust because I've seen them over and over for years and now I trust them. And so even though two others came up, I know this name, I trust this name and I'm there. So they're top of mind. They have the awareness. They have the trust factor. Billboards do a great job of that, being always on, becoming a trust factor thing. I even have sales teams that use it. If you're on in a company that sells to local businesses and they say, hey, I put my business up on there, not because I want people to come in. Actually, it's so that when my sales team goes out to make sales, people say, oh yeah, I saw your billboard. I know you're real. You're legit. Yeah. Cause no one's just wasting money on a billboard in a local town if they're not real, right? Most of the time you see them and you know, they're there, they're going to be there for a while. So it brings credibility as well. So it's great as an owner to have those options to different things. So you'll have everything from furniture stores to lawyers, to doctors, to car dealers, to HVACs, to you name it. You kind of have a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that awareness play is really interesting. It reminded me of back when I was painting houses in college, and we try and blanket the town with the little yard signs.
Yard signs, that's right.
And early on, I was like, why isn't the phone ringing? We got 20 of these things placed. But what it was when we'd go cold calling door to door, oh, I've seen your signs everywhere. It wasn't, I'm going to take action on this while I'm driving. It's just building that brand awareness and kind of giving the impression that like, dang, these guys are doing a lot of work around here. Like, what am I missing out on? Almost the other almost subliminal billboard / advertising hack was from Brian Scudamore, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And like purposely, like his franchisees purposely go and park the truck at these busy intersections, assuming with the permission of the parking lot owner or whoever's owning that property. They're not paying for the billboard. They're just parking the truck when it's not in use. And you see it over and over again. And every time I see one of his trucks at these busy intersections, I'm like, I know your game. I know your game because he talked about it on the show. I thought it was really creative.
Yeah, it's a great way to bring awareness. You're right. It's just like the We Buy Ugly Houses signs you see everywhere, right? Those were really popular for a while.
Yep. Anything on the tools and technology side that help you manage this inventory or manage the team that helps put it all together?
Yeah. So with mine, it's a small team. We use a lot of spreadsheets still. The technology for the signs themselves, depending on the manufacturer you have ways to upload and manage your content and how that's going. Finding them, LandGlide is a great app if people don't use that. I use it for real estate purchasing, which basically is all that county data while you're driving on your phone, show you who owns what, where it is, lines, lot lines, all that kind of stuff. So LandGlide's a great opportunity for somebody to grab. There is a fee for it, but it's a great app just to have if you're in the real estate game. Most people that are real estate investors probably have that one.
Cool. That one is new to me. I never heard of it. We'll link it up. LandGlide.
LandGlide, yeah.
At this point, you're sitting on this inventory. At what point do you have to get involved? Like, is it when an advertiser turns over? What's a day in the life or a week in the life look like today?
Yeah. So the last couple of years, it's been a little boring. I work about 5 hours a week, maybe. When new customers call in or I know I have some inventory coming up, I may reach out to people. Because it's long-term, you kind of know out in front 3 to 4 months out when their contracts are coming due, so you can have those conversations and start to look for somebody that may make sense to fill them. And sometimes you just, if you don't, you leave them, take them down, the sign goes up and you're surprised by who actually calls you and says, I want to be up there now. I've been waiting on the sign to come open and because I have some signs that haven't been open in years. So if you have that, then there's a demand pent up. Somebody's just waiting for someday that sign's going to come down and they get to advertise on it. And so they'll call me.
Yeah, do you keep a wait list in that sense?
Yeah, a wait list for it. So just working with different ones and the locations matter. Like I have one that's out by the local lake. And so I may call RV dealers or boat dealers, stuff like that, that makes sense seasonally to play out by the lake versus something else in a different location that it wouldn't make as much sense for them to play. So I think you have to just look at that. So a day in the life, I do answer a few phone calls, send a few emails, make sure to pick up checks for the accountant or have those direct deposited, whichever way. Again, the team is important. I think that I wanted to free up my time to be able to make those decisions to do what I want to do. That's the idea of financial freedom, was to not have to go to work every day and pick it up. So that's what I've been able to do. I've hang out with my family a lot. So I'm able to make all my daughter's events. I'm able to hang out with my wife, maybe a little too much. She says I'm always home and she's always home. So she's like, all right, you need to get out of the house. But yeah, it's
go,
great.
Go find another hobby.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Was there a monthly income target where you felt comfortable saying, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull the trigger on this early retirement thing.
So when you start looking at wealth and how you define that, I think it's one of those definitions of financial freedom is you have your expenses and you have your income. And once you cover that, then you're technically out of the rat race. Now, I'm a very, very conservative person. That's why I buy a lot of things with cash, do that. But I'm one of those that want to make sure I have at least double of my expenses coming in or triple my expenses come in before I would have stepped away. I'm not one of those that just say I get right even with it and I'm out or 1 month. So I've had these billboards now. I started in 2011 and started growing it since then and been able to do that. So this has been years in the making, but as I slowly grow, continue to build, you just kind of look at that expense number, which seems to grow. I don't know how that happens, but when you have a family, your expenses seem to grow every year along with it, but that's what it kind of looked like. So as long as I could get and cover those by multiples, then I felt good to step out and away from the rat race and be able to escape.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a buffer on the cash flow. So I'm the same way. We talked to other people like, I made my first $50, so I quit my job. I was like, whoa, you know,
don't do that.
Are you going to turn that into 5,000 or 15,000?
Yes. Yeah. And it's actually one of those interesting mindsets. So as a builder and somebody that's had this mindset of saving, investing, and building, leaving. So I did all this while I had a corporate W-2 job. So I had several jobs in the past. And so as I was building these, and then when I finally stopped, it's kind of that weird dilemma, like now I'm using some of this and that feels weird. I'm not just accumulating and investing and reinvesting, and to live off of it's a little bit weird for me. But I think it's important to be able to just to step back and say, look, we're good for here on out. I mean, worst case, I sell the billboards and cash out. Best case, I continue to hold on to them and they continue to grow in value and we live off of them for a long and I continue to build new ones. So I'm actually looking this year to add several more to my portfolio and hopefully we'll, and my goals is to double the number of boards I have in 2 years. So as I start to grow and continue, because there's a point where it's like, how much is enough? And then how much do you want to keep going? And so this is just a game. It's pretty fun though.
Yeah, that was the next question. Well, where do you want to take this? You want to add more inventory? You want to sell the thing? But it sounds like you got your answer. You want to double the number of faces.
So what I actually really want to focus on is teaching others. So I want to help others build wealth, get out of the rat race and achieve that financial freedom. So this is where I'm going to go next, is actually teaching a course on building your billboard. So it's called the Billboard Academy. It's going to come the next couple of months. If somebody wanted to learn a little bit more about that, they could check it out on wantmore.org. You could get a download free guide to creating passive income via billboards to see if it's something you'd like to look into. It gives you kind of the starting point for that. So that's what I'm doing on the next phase. So I'm looking forward to going and teaching others what I've learned, put into practice. So this isn't one of those I'm just saying you should go do this, right? It's everybody's doing. I actually have done this for years, not 1 year, not just during an up cycle, through the last 15 years as I've built this out and continue to grow it. And it's a very trusted source of income that most people would recognize as a good investment, not just a fly by the night that may be done tomorrow or not. These are quite tested over about 100 years, right? Or more.
That's right. Wantmore.org, the Billboard Academy coming soon. Go check that out. I wanted to ask, what's surprised you the most over the last 13, 14 years of doing this, or any mistakes that you wish you could do over?
It's more about the time of learning, the years that you're in the game to get you better versus a get rich quick thing. And I think that surprised me how many people want to play the get rich game versus want to play the get wealthy over time game. Both work, but I think it's one of those, I can play the sure game over time. If you just started buying a property, a billboard, a business, whatever it may be, creating that income, starting to save it, like you're saying, not when you make your $50, you're out and you jump out and you say, oh, look, I'm rich, I'm out of this game, but to continue to do it consistently. I think that surprised me that more people aren't doing that.
Yeah, it's something about stacking up this incremental cash flow, doing it year after year, and before you know it, you're living very comfortably. Plus you have this whole asset that you can go and exit for a big lump sum. If you ever want to get there, I remember I asked Miles Beckler, we're talking about online business versus local business, like sweaty startup style things.
Yes.
And I was like, hey, Miles, you know, any shortcuts to get started? And before I could even finish, he's like, shortcuts lead to long delays, my friend. To your point about getting
exactly
rich quick.
Right.
It's like, if instead of trying to get rich quick, you know, took this slower, more methodical path, you'd find out that you did it pretty quick on a big time horizon. I mean, you're still a young person. I think you got a lot of years ahead of you.
People realize that they have the ability to build that wealth over time. And it doesn't take a lot. It just takes the consistency over it.
Yeah, 10 years seems like a long time. But in the grand scheme of things, you're going to have a lot more life ahead
of you. It's really not. It's going to come whether you like it or not, right?
Very good. Wantmore.org. You can find Chris over there. You can find Signs of Good on Facebook. We didn't talk about that, but there's a nonprofit or charity component to this business where from every dollar or every ad that gets sold, there's a charity component to that. Signs of Good. You find it over on Facebook. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
It's more about who we're becoming versus just what we have. And it reminds me, so I was in my barn the other day. So I have a CrossFit gym in my barn. And I was in there working out and there's two garage doors and this little hummingbird flies in and he's flying across the rafters. He's got himself stuck up in the top. He's going back and forth and back and forth and he's just wearing himself out. He comes down, goes right back up there. And he goes back and forth. So I finally get a feeder out and start lowering him down slowly, little bit by little bit. As I watch him wear himself out and come down, I start to think of myself, he finally got out. He finally was able to get him lower enough that he could actually escape the barn. But how many times is that us where we're not looking, we're just flying harder and harder and harder. We're trying harder to get out of the rat race, to make the extra thing, to have the extra business, But what we really need sometimes is to take a minute or even have somebody that can have that outside perspective. So who do you have that outside perspective? Do you have a coach, a guide, someone that's showing you that? Like I did for that hummingbird, by stepping him down step by step using that hummingbird feeder, he was able to finally get free. I didn't have to touch him. I didn't have to do anything, but he just needed somebody to point him in the right direction to let him reach that freedom. Find a mentor, find a guide if you don't have that, so that you can see the next best steps that you need to take and how to do that. And that's one thing that's helped me the most, is to be the guide that helps others become a free hummingbird, that they're able to go get out of the rat race, get free financially, and live that life that they were desiring to live.
I think that's a really powerful metaphor. I think about like the fly slamming against the window, trying to get out. Right. You know, it's just like, dude, the door's open. Go 2 feet that way.
That's right.
But I feel like you very rarely take the pause to do this in our personal life. Like I'm doing the same thing, expecting different results.
That's insanity.
Wondering why it's not working. Yeah. So I think that's a really,
yeah, it was a really interesting metaphor. Watching him do that. It was a lot longer of a process than I wanted to invest in that little bird's life. But as an hour went by, I slowly worked him down. It was fun to watch, because at the end, I just sit there and I was like, how many times has that been me? Like I'm just trying so hard. And then somebody else, though, that could have showed me a step faster, a different way to approach it, and I could have easily escaped, but I just kept going harder and harder and fighting the system or whatever it may be. So it's not always about that.
Well, perhaps billboards will be that escape path for you or any of the other side hustles that we've covered on 11 plus years on the podcast here. A couple notes before we wrap up for me is like looking at it as an alternative investment, like a different asset class to park some money into that you have a little bit more hands-on control over. Like, oh, I can proactively fill this ad space with advertisers. I can proactively go out and seek better deals rather than the efficiency that's kind of naturally baked into like a S&P ETF or something like that. And I really like the cash flow plus equity piece, where it's like, oh, if I have four faces making $2,400 a month, that's cool. But it's also become this asset that could now be worth 7 to 12 times that if I were to go out and sell that. So I think that's really, really powerful, and how it seems like an attainable path to building wealth is like, you got to have something that you own. You can't just be working for money all the time. So that's what stood out to me. Again, sidehustlenation.com/billboards is where you find the show notes, links to everything that we mentioned. That's where you'll also find your listener only bonus for this episode. That's my list of 25 other unconventional rental ideas, things that other people are renting out for a profit. You can download that for free. Again, sidehustlenation.com/billboards, or just follow the show notes link in the episode description and you get right over there. Big thanks to Chris for sharing his insight. Big thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. As always, you can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. Thanks for supporting the advertisers that support the show. We had a whole show about advertising. You know, you got to support the ads. That's what makes the whole thing tick. That's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. So fire off that text message. Hey, not going to lie, I kind of want to buy a billboard after listening to this. So until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.